The sun is glowing behind clouds as a car drives past the ruins of a stone building in the countryside. A middle-aged woman with blonde hair is behind the wheel. The road runs alongside the sea.
When I was young, growing up with four brothers, we never went abroad on holiday. We had a small cottage at Pinwhiddy, which is about 5 miles from here. And every summer we came down the Ayrshire coast, my dad would say, "And what's that out in the water?" And we would all, "Ailes a Craig." It's really striking, and on a day like today where it's clear and, you know, when you're coming down the road, it was always the big focal point. My dad would tell us it was an extinct volcano, and we were like, "Wow, okay, that used to be a volcano." But then he would say, I always remember him saying it was over 500 million years old.
A seabird colony.
And he would explain that the Ailes a Craig granite made curling stones. But in those days, I didn't know what curling was. So it didn't mean anything to me.
Archive film of a stone being made.
Now I appreciate how important Ailes a Craig is. The granite from there makes curling stones that go all around the world, and all ice rinks in Scotland have granite from Ailes a Craig.
Polishing a stone at the Olympics.
When I look back now and think how often we saw Ailes a Craig and how much we talked about it as a family, and then really now how important it's been in my life.
So this is it. The stone for glory.
As the 2002 Winter Olympics, four Scottish women made history.
We were the underdogs.
We had no pressure on us, apart from the pressure we put on ourselves, because nobody expected anything from us.
Against all the odds.
Desperate disappointment once again for Great Britain.
Great Britain failed the test tonight. What a huge disappointment for Great Britain.
I think we can all imagine how you must be feeling just now. That must hurt a lot.
It does.
I don't think anybody would have predicted what happened.
Battling the best teams in the world.
The flags are waving, and this time it's tears of joy.
We've been given the second chance. We are not going to throw this away.
Here it comes. This is the moment.
We're back on fire, and it was like, right, this is our chance.
Changing the image of women in sport.
All curlers know that you're going to get spoken of as a housewife with a broom.
They played their part in changing the perception that women could be top-class athletes.
Rona Martin, one last delivery for Olympic gold.
I sit and watch the final stone, even now, thinking, oh, my God, we're going to miss that.
BBC Scotland, The Last Stone. Black and white footage.
What's he up to? He's cutting through the ice so that he can use a special gauge to measure the thickness.
6 inches.
6 inches, and 6 inches of the very best kind of ice too, black ice. This is the news that's been anxiously awaited by some 2,000 men, each carrying two polished granite stones for the greatest and rarest event in the history of an old Scottish game, curling.
Curling has that image of older men on lochs, cigarettes hanging out their mouth, big corn brooms.
I thought that's something that your parents played, older people played, not kids.
People couldn't believe I was giving up rugby to play curling. What are you doing that sport for? Old man sport.
Where do the best curlers come from?
Fife.
That's so.
Yeah.
Where do you come from?
Fife.
I didn't really tell any of my friends that I was curling. So it was like a secret meeting on a Sunday. All these people that didn't tell any of their friends what they were doing.
People did say, oh, that's just a sport for farmers and it's for old people and all that. But obviously, because I wasn't old or a farmer, it was kind of like, well, actually, no, there are other people that play, so...
How do you take to a woman invading grand matches? Do you think it's a good idea?
A grand thing.
Oh,
it's a grand thing. Oh, well, it keeps the whiskey drinking under control. You've always got somebody to drive you home.
My mum and dad curled, So they used to take me and my brother along to a lot of weekend competitions. Absolutely hated it. It was our whole weekend. It was boring. And then when I was 13, they decided to take me along to the junior club in Kirkcaldy and just loved it. From the minute I was on the ice, just loved it. My brother, Drew, won the Scottish Junior Championships and went to a World Championships. And I thought, oh, this looks like fun. And that was really why I tried curling.
I first started curling when I was 11, so a good while ago, and introduced to it by my family. Both my parents played at club level.
My whole family plays. Like, my mum, my dad, my sister, my in-laws, my children, my husband, we all played.
As soon as I came out of juniors, that was it. I thought, I want to skip. I love this challenge of the tactical side of the game, and I want to skip a team. So that was it. That's how it all started.
I formed this team and we started playing the junior circuit and became quite successful. Won pretty much every competition in the circuit. And then I entered all the junior championships.
Managed to win the Scottish juniors a couple of times, went to world championships, same in the ladies. Yeah, and we're quite successful.
As you got better at it and won things, you kind of realised, you know, this could be something special. And then you've always got the goal of wanting to go to the European Championships, the World Championships.
Janice Rankin, Debbie Knox, Fiona McDonald and Rona Howie.
Well now, given the choice, would you want to watch women playing football? Would you enjoy seeing women knocking each other out in the boxing ring? Are women tennis players as skilled as the men are?
I do not think the Grand National is a ladies' race in any way. They're not physically strong enough and they don't have the ability.
Is it what they call a necessary evil or something like that in these days of equality?
There was a stigma as if to say, well, you know, girls are not good enough to do this, you know, stick to rounders. But when you beat them at it, it was a different ball game.
It was the early 90s I joined the BBC. At that time, I never covered any women's sport at all. There was no women's football, for example, no women's rugby, none of the kind of big sports.
Women's sport was treated pretty much as second class a lot of the time. I mean, not in every sport, but certainly in the major television sports, if you like. I mean, tennis, yes, but there weren't very many others.
Women and men's bowls and women and men's curling, but they were the minority sports there. The diddy sports, as some journalists, my male colleagues used to call it, the diddy sports. Who wants to do the diddy sports? Let's send Alison off to do the diddy sports.
In the 1990s, curling was one of the few women's sports to get regular TV coverage.
And then I was asked to present the Scottish Curling Championships, men and women, which was generally at the Jurors Rink in Perth.
Hello and welcome back to Perth Ice Rink and the climax of the Scottish curling season.
So it's quite refreshing to be interviewing women.
Did you feel your team sort of lived up to expectations?
Yes, definitely.
Played really well.
Curling was on BBC Scotland only, and the rest of the UK didn't get the chance to see it. It was still seen as a quirky Scottish sport.
Curling was pretty niche. There were, certainly in Scotland, a lot of curlers, but in the rest of the UK, I think there was one curling rink in England. None at all, I don't think, in Ireland. So, it was very much a Scottish sport. It's a simple game, but tactically so complicated.
Let's just remind you of some of the basics of this game of curling. Curling is played between two teams of four players. Each player delivers two stones alternately with his opponent to a target area 42 yards away, known as the house. Each team aims to place its stones closer to the centre of the house than the opposition. Each stone closer counts 1 point. Sweeping plays a vital part in keeping the stone on line and determining the distance travelled. The action of sweeping temporarily melts the ice in front of the stone, slowing down its deceleration and thereby allowing it to travel further, as much as 15 feet at times. The sweepers will watch the amount of curl or spin carefully. They may be required to hold it on line or to prolong its travel.
The Chamonix Winter Olympics, 1924.
The curling community around the world lobbied for years, for decades, to try and get it back as a full Olympic winter sport.
It was in the original Olympics way back in the 20s, and then as a demonstration sport in 1988 in Calgary. But it was still another 10 years before it was a fully fledged Olympic winter sport once again. And that was in Japan, in Nagano in 1998.
Rona Howie, formerly Martin.
When it became an Olympic medal sport, that's when you thought, right, OK, this is what I want to do. And that's when it just kind of that dream started.
In 1998, Salt Lake City is revealed as the host for the Winter Olympics in 2002.
I spoke to several people to say, I really want to go for Salt Lake, but it's a huge commitment because I had to have a team that were singing off the same hymn sheet as me. And that was it. We said, right, we're going to go for this.
The year that Rona asked me to play was the year I was going to retire. And then Rona phoned me and asked me to join the team solely with a view of going to the Olympics 4 years later. I thought, well, you know what, just give it one last shot. So I did. And thank goodness I did.
Fiona MacDonald.
So we'd meet up in Dures in Perth, because that was the halfway point. It was this kind of central point for us all to meet up and practice.
Rona was in Dunlop, I'm in Loch Ellie in Fife, and Janice was Elgin and Fiona was in Burness. So huge geographical mileage.
We were just up and down the A9 all the time. You felt that you were constantly juggling, but when you're committed to the sport at that level, it's full on. A lot of sacrifices.
You basically were juggling everything. And putting as much into the training as you could. And that's where, because we were apart, you know, we put the trust in each other that we were all practicing and doing what we could. And it was only, you know, support of family and those around us at the time that allowed us to do that.
Back together on the ice. Wait, wait,
wait only.
Hard, 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 hard. Wait only.
Great shot. Jennifer, at the time, would be 9, and Andrew would be 5.
My girls were 2.5, 3. I was working full-time at that time.
Family snapshots.
Yep. I wrote so many itineraries and had them on the fridges, and the freezer was full of food and marked for every day. And, you know, I think it was just being organised. And the kids were too young to understand. They knew I was away curling and that was it.
Janice throws a stone.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they did that as mums. I only appreciate it now that I am a mum.
Fiona.
It was very, very tough. Because you would get a phone call. Oh, where's my brownie top? Where's my cup jumper? Can't find it. Can't find this. Where's this homework? And you're just like, oh, my goodness.
Right up, all the way line.
You have to put the work in. If you're given it 100% and you don't make it, then at least you can say you've tried your best.
I sweat. Shot, Janice.
You guys are quite good. Do you want to be my team?
When curling became an Olympic sport in 1998, the Scottish Institute of Sport set aside £200,000 for the top teams. Mike Hay.
So we got money invested in the programme. And it was up to me as the performance director to decide where that money goes within the programme. So it's like, for us, it's like being in a sweetie shop or a supermarket. We'll have some psychology, we'll have some fitness, we'll have the... Actually, it's up to me to go, our team are not ready yet. They need to get technically better on the ice.
You know, before that, we didn't really have coaching. You self-coached. You know, you would be up at an ice rink just playing yourself, throwing stones about, doing angles. It was all self-taught. Whereas as soon as it became an Olympic medal sport, then coaching really became a big part of your daily training.
Russell Keeler.
Rona asked me to be her coach, and I was really pleased to help Rona out because she was a good player and she had a good team, and I always thought she would do well and I could add something to her team.
Kenny Moore.
I was really pleased with how Team Martin looked at performance analysis as a support. You know, they appeared to welcome me to training sessions. My role was to try and bring in some evidence to that whole process, where we would look back at performance in quite an objective way.
The video analysis was brilliant. You know, if you were, for training purposes, like seeing your slide, your lineup, your delivery, all that kind of stuff, and you could see where you had to tweak it, rather than, you know, the coach just saying, oh, well, you slid a bit wide. You know, you could actually physically see it and you could see where you were going wrong.
Because I've been used to teaching sports psychology for 15 years or so, I was able to say, look, these are the things that might be important for performance. For example, being able to have a presence on the ice. Give off an aura to the opposing teams that you're not there to be annihilated.
You know, don't stand like that. We're standing up like that. We're walking down the sides of the ice, one on each side, because it's like then you're owning the ice and, you know, don't have your hands in your pockets. Just, you know, there's little things like that.
I'll admit, at that stage, I was really grumpy on the ice. I was. I'm surprised the team wanted to play with me because I was so grumpy. And, you know, if a shot wasn't played, you could tell by looking at me. And I had to learn to stop that.
We'd designed what we call a sweep ergometer, which measures your downward force, the velocity you're sweeping at. We had a rock throwing machine, which measures the distance a rock will go. So yeah, we got into a bit of the science because you're up against Canada, who have a million people playing the game.
Well, the Canadians are fanatics about curling. Yeah. They've dominated both men's and women's curling.
We'll be lucky if we've got a couple of hundred in the competitive world, so you better be better at a lot of these parts of the game than they are.
Archive clips.
Going almost perfectly straight.
In colour and black and white.
Well, that's Canada 2, much to the delight of the home crowd.
Great shot, kiddo.
Thanks.
That says it all.
And the Canadians had their sponsorship deals all set to be in place before they went to the Olympics. So on the back of them winning a gold medal, then you'd get X, Y, and Z, that type of thing. But we were just there for the sport.
We were never going to be favourites. It was, you know, Canada were definitely the favourites. But no, I don't think anybody would have predicted what would have or what happened.
The 2000 Scottish Championships in Perth. Sports broadcaster Alison Walker.
Winning the Scottish title is absolutely crucial for Rona and her team to potentially gain those ranking points for that Olympic slot.
So, this is it. To decide the Scottish Championship, Rona Martin, who's never had her hands on the trophy.
She was always, like, one of the top teams. She was always the one that had never won the Scottish. She got so close so many times.
So much at stake, not just the title, but those vital Olympic selection points as well.
Rona's stone hits another and stops in the middle of the house.
A sensational stone to win the Scottish title.
Driving past a sandy beach and Ailsa Craig jutting out of the sea in the distance. Someone's riding a horse on the wet sand, then Rona is gazing across the water at Ailsa Craig.
I remember it always, that I thought, oh my goodness, we're going to the Olympics. We are going to represent Great Britain.
A breeze lifts strands of her hair, then archive footage of a boat's wake near the dome-shaped island.
I was hungrier for that success because I had always been just so close, but not getting there. We just gave it our all and said, wait, the last thing I want to do is go to an Olympic Games and say, if only we had done this. I wanted to go and say we've done everything we possibly could and have no regrets.
Doogie Donnelly.
The team that settled it under Rona's captaincy as skip, Janice Rankin, who was an absolutely rock-solid lead. Fiona McDonald at number two, capable of great shots. Her husband was at the games as well, and the men's team.
Ewan was my husband at the time, and we met through curling, and but he played in the Olympic team the same time as me, with Hammy McMillan.
Debbie Knox was a wonderful Vaiska, wonderful number three. Rona leaned on Debs quite heavily. They had the fifth, Megs Morton. And that's a nice convention in curling, that even if your fifth player is really only there in case of injury or illness or dramatic loss of form, they always come onto the ice and play, and that means they qualify for the medic. So Megs didn't have a big role to play, but she's the fifth member of the team.
Rona's team Martin had qualified for the Olympic Games, but they still had one more competition to play. The 2001 European Championships in Viromaki, Finland.
Everything was focused on the European Championships.
They were now under the lens of being the Olympic team. So people were paying attention to how they were performing, and there was a great deal of interest when they went into the Europeans.
You know, we went there with high hopes that we would be performing well. We'd put in all the work. We wanted to perform well before the Olympics. And we lost so many games on the last stone.
So our results looked terrible because we didn't win many games, we didn't get to the knockout stages, blah, blah, blah. Everyone was like, oh, my God, that's the team that's going in there. Aren't they rubbish?
Performance was questioned, team dynamics was questioned, everything was put under scrutiny.
You can't play well all the time. And we would have a review after every game, and it was very constructive, but it was quite harsh as well, because you did take a bit of a verbal battering, you know, but you just had to take it on the chin.
It was a stressful and, I would say, horrible 10 days of my life, because everything we'd put in, I could see it flashing away at this point. There's no athlete out there that has a smooth journey from start to finish. There's always bumps in the road, and Finland was definitely a big bump in the road, but it made us stronger.
BBC News.
The men's curling team start their campaign. The 1999 world champion, skippered by Hammy McMillan.
Stranraer's Hammy McMillan has won everything there is to winning curling, including the world title. Now he wants to complete the set.
The men's team were basically, it was all about them. They were the one that were going to win the medal and stuff. And, you know, actually, I think it was fine, because I don't think any of us were overly bothered. They were like, yeah, on you go, you know.
We got a wee bit of attention, which was very nice, but we were quite happy. We were quite happy to fly under the radar.
We had no pressure on us, apart from the pressure we put on ourselves, because nobody expected anything from us.
We just quietly went about our business, yeah.
The men had, I guess, all the media profile because they were world champions a couple of years before, playing at a high level, both in Europeans, had been European champions as well, whereas the girls hadn't, but they were hungry.
The 19th Olympic Winter Games, Salt Lake City, USA, 2002. Clouds over snowy mountain peaks, then an aeroplane landing.
I remember the flight into Salt Lake, and it's still that kind of, oh gosh, we're here, and you know, the nerves were kicking in. It's all real now, this is happening.
Smiling in photos.
When we first arrived in Salt Lake, we stayed in the Olympic Village. So we had a couple of nights, then the opening ceremony.
Fireworks.
19th Winter Olympic Games have officially begun in America's Salt Lake City.
La Grande-Bretagne.
Great Britain.
British athletes, including Team Martin, waving.
And then the next morning, we drove out to Ogden, which is where the curling venue was. And the decision was made for us to stay in Ogden, basically to cut down on travel time.
Although we were in Salt Lake City for the Games, we were in a place called Ogden, which was the way out in the outskirts, kind of like, where are we going to put curling? Let's stick it out there.
The British Olympic Association sourced this, the Days Inn Hotel, which was a bit better the second time we went than it was the first time.
I think it made a big difference in terms of being away from, you know, at the village, you've got winners and losers. and that has an impact.
Peter Clark. On arrival, Team Martin had 1 week to practice.
Then, about 3-4 days in, I started to take on well, and I was never an unwell person, so I was really quite concerned about what this was. It was a stomach issue that I'd never ever had before and never had since. And all of a sudden, reality probably hit that, oh my goodness, what is happening here? And at that stage, they said, I don't know if you'll be able to play.
And that was a wow, what's going to happen now?
Obviously, we had Margaret Morton was there as fifth player, so she would have stepped in and played. But in my head, there was no way I was not playing. You know, and I do remember saying, you'd have to be carrying me out here on my deathbed for me not to be playing.
You know, she was kind of given the OK to play and she decided she wanted to play. I mean, she was always going to play, you know. So we were very much like, well, yeah, if you feel you're well enough to throw stones, then yes. Just another bit to add into the excitement of the whole thing.
A fast-paced montage of Winter Olympic sports, including luge, skiing, ice hockey, half-pipe snowboarding, and ski jumping.
I was the curling commentator, the lead curling commentator, with Kirsty Hay, who had been the skip in 98 and had just missed out on the bronze, as my expert alongside me, who was great. She took on the technicalities and stuff and let me explain the idiot's guide, if you like.
John and Gail Munro.
The arena, one side was a screen, which was fantastic, and then the main audience was on the other side and a big steep.
I'm going to suggest that there was only seating for about 2,000?
2,000, yeah, roughly.
You know, it wasn't a huge crowd. It's still pretty big for curling.
That's big for curling, yeah.
And my dad had come out to watch, and he was the mad man there with the kilt and the British and Scottish flag.
We were up in the gods.
And among the Americans.
I think we spent most of our time trying to explain curling to the people round about it.
Yeah.
It's certainly not an easy gold medal to win because there are 10 countries. You play each of the other countries, so that's 9 matches. Then it's semi-finals and the final. Each match, 10 ends, and the top scorer wins. It's fairly straightforward. How you get there is a difficult bit.
The British supporters welcome the teams as Rona Martin prepares to play her opening match of these 2002 Olympics against the vastly experienced Norway. Rona Martin, who happily now seems fully recovered from that very nasty tummy bug, which really laid her low for most of the final week before the games.
It was relief that I'm playing and it was all okay. But I wasn't great in game one, but I think the adrenaline and the excitement of the game starting just pulled you through.
In the arena, she blows her nose.
Even when she came back, you know, there was in the back of her mind, is she match fit? You know, because she was weak. But gosh, it shows some inner strength in that woman. Hats off to her.
This is a very encouraging performance.
We were very good at losing the first game of any competition we played in, didn't matter where it was. But the fact we were like, so we beat Norway, we're like, oh my goodness, what's just happened? We've just won the first game.
She clears out 2 Norwegian stones, leaving only 1.
And that's it. Yes, they have shaken hands. The great British women have made a terrific start to this Olympic tournament. Rona Martin finishes with a 10-6 victory and a winning start to their Olympic campaign.
Spraying the ice with water.
Good morning to you from the Ogden Ice Sheet. It's the second round in the women's competition, with Great Britain taking on one of the gold medal favourites, Sweden, led by the legendary Elisabeth Gustafsson. Tough one for Rona, and this one will certainly give us a very clear indication of whether the Great Britain team really are medal contenders here in Salt Lake.
A miss from Rona.
That's just not on.
Very disappointed, Rona Martin. It's a mistake.
A final takeout means Sweden win 7-4.
And here it is.
Well, we could only hope.
They were one of the strongest teams. Elisabeth Gustafsson you know, several medals on her tally, so she was a really strong team.
Great Britain have now won one and lost one.
The Japanese team high-five each other, then Team Martin beat them 9-1.
It's the fourth match for both Great Britain and Russia. And that's a team I'm sure they'll be expected to beat. 8-5. A very comfortable win. It's their third win out of four, and now they can go forward tonight to face the big one against the Canadians.
Canada. They're Brazil in football. They're the All Blacks in rugby. They are curling fanatics, always in contention.
And they are the favourites, without question.
A glorious night sky over Ogden, Utah. The big match for the British women. The gold medal favourites from Canada, led by Kelly Law.
We played Canada on Valentine's Day, and the Canadian girls, ladies, came out, and they all had, like, love hearts drawn on their cheeks.
I wonder if those are staying on throughout the game.
And we were like, what the heck?
Waving to the cameras for all their loved ones at home, we were like...
So this really is a tough test for Rona Martin's Great Britain team.
A Canadian stone.
To Canada.
Here you go. Here you
go. Good sweeping. Rona draws to an empty house.
Got to take it into the house.
Got to be in.
Got to take it in. Oh, it's shot. Kicked away in disgust. Oh, what an opportunity missed.
Rona looks frustrated.
Line's good.
A final stone from Canada.
And a classy finish there from Kelly.
Oh, that is the way to do it. A terrific two there from Canada.
Handshakes.
We played badly in that game.
Great Britain failed the test tonight. A record now, 1-3, lost 2. And the Canadians remain undefeated and on course for a medal.
We lost, we didn't deserve to win. It was a dreadful game. And, you know, you're going to have games like that sometimes. Unfortunately, it was, you know, in the round robin at the Olympics.
The venue from the air.
Now can Rona's team pick up an invaluable victory against the Swiss?
A takeout.
She's got it. It's all over, and that really is a good victory for Rona Martin and the British women. They have beaten Switzerland. Great Britain plays Denmark. And if they win, of course, the chances are they'll be within just one win of a place in the last four. So Great Britain picked up another victory. One more will be enough to give Britain a place in those medal matches. One more win required.
So with two games to go, you know, I felt we're going to qualify.
To reach the semi-finals, they must win one of their next two games.
But we were right on the cusp. We knew one more win would take us through.
Win the last game, you're in the semi-final.
Match ahead is potentially the biggest of Rona Martin and her Britain's career. Great Britain against the USA. A win for Great Britain this afternoon means that they are definitely into the medal playoffs.
That was probably the toughest game to play because we were against USA, in USA. And it wasn't a curling crowd. They weren't knowledgeable. It was just an Olympic crowd. So they were booing you in the hack and they were shouting.
A throw from Fiona catches their own stone, which had been guarding the house.
That was a mistake from Rona, who's in charge of the line.
The game against America, I just remember it being really, really close.
Well, what a match this has been. 5-5 after 10 ends.
The final American throw bounces off one of four British stones and finishes on the centre button.
Gotta get the right side.
A high five.
Superb shot.
If she takes out, that's Yellowstone. Great Britain will be playing in the semi-finals with a chance of an Olympic medal.
USA played a lucky shot, I would say, with their last stone in the extra end and left us with no shot to play.
The most important stone of these games so far. Has Rona Martin got it right?
Needs a thin wick. Gets the wrong one.
It was the wrong stone.
We lost.
The USA have won. What a huge disappointment for Great Britain.
It was in our hands to win and we didn't do it. And yeah, I was angry.
And Great Britain will have to wait for another agonising 24 hours and beat Germany in their final game.
The team look disappointed. A house from above, made up of four concentric circles like a target. Then a blonde German team member moves across the ice. Rona slides on one foot, her leg bent and her other knee balancing on the ice, and she throws a stone with a look of concentration on her face. It passes through the house and she looks annoyed. Next, Janice throws and Fiona looks disheartened. The German team high-five each other and Rona buries her face in the crook of her elbow while leaning on her curling broom. Rona lifts her head and stares into the distance. One of the German curlers smiles. With her brown hair cut short, Janice steps up to throw and glances down at her feet. Rona's got a frustrated expression and Debbie is leaning her cheek against her palm. The German skip throws.
Natalie Nessler, the last stone of the 10th end. Great Britain hoping that she makes a mistake at this moment.
It looks good, however. She's got it on the nose.
Thank you.
Desperate disappointment once again for Great Britain. They had to beat the USA to make the last four. Then they had to beat Germany. Sadly, they've managed neither.
I remember we were all so down after that because we thought, well, that's it, it's all over. We're not even going to make the semi-finals. We're going home.
Oh, that was it. We're out. Dead and buried, we've blown it. And that feeling was probably the worst feeling ever. That everything you had just put in had just gone.
That's it. Your Olympic dream is gone.
I think we can all imagine how you must be feeling just now. That must hurt a lot.
It does. It's disastrous end of the week, in a way, because, you know, we had a good sort of start and middle bit of the week, and to finish it off in the two losses is bad.
Rona walks away from her interview with Doogie. One last chance remains. If Switzerland beats Germany in their last game, Team GB go through.
We then had to sit all day and wait till the evening match between Germany and Switzerland, which we needed the Swiss to win.
Hello, good evening to you once again from the Ogden Ice Sheet on a night when every Great Britain fan becomes a Switzerland supporter. In a nutshell, from Great Britain's point of view, we need Switzerland to win this one, and then there is still a chance for Rona Martin in the tiebreakers.
I said, no, I'm not going near. I can't bear to watch this. Debbie and I stayed at the hotel and it was torture.
I'm sure we put all our change in the vending machine and got the biggest rubbish out of it.
We were stuffing our faces. It was so bad. We were like, crisps and sweets and all that. Then we got a call from Russell.
A very comfortable victory in the end for Switzerland.
Switzerland had won the round robin game, which meant we were in a playoff.
That means Great Britain will play tomorrow morning against Sweden.
Oh my God, put the food away. We've got to curl some more. Like, right, okay.
Now there are playoffs between the teams with equal points. Team Martin must win their next two games to reach the semi-finals. Doogie.
So suddenly we're into the two playoff matches. against two countries that had beaten us in the round robin.
Well, the next day it was like, I don't know, somebody had flicked a switch and it was like, we've been given the second chance. We are not going to throw this away. Because I think we'd had that deep disappointment for the few hours, there's no way I wanted to be back there. So it was like, right.
A takeout from Rona.
Good shot, Rona.
We were just so determined and so focused from that first stone of that first playoff.
Give yourselves a kick up the backside. This is the Olympics for that. Just get on with it. And we did.
Got it. And now they're in the second tiebreak match, and it's a chance for revenge in Germany.
We're back on fire, and it was like, right, this is our chance.
So off we go. Second tiebreak match. One which will decide the last semi-final place.
It was like a new level almost of calm, let's go.
There have been highs, there have been lows, there have been tears along the way, but this could be the moment when Rona Martin takes GB into the semi-finals.
Her stone's still moving when Germany offer handshakes.
It is, and it's all over, and Great Britain have won two fantastic victories today in the tiebreaks. The flags are waving, and this time it's tears of joy.
Debbie waves to the fans in the seats. Team Martin have made the semi-finals, but the men's team have been less fortunate. Footage of a glum-looking men's team.
Amy McMillan and Warwick Smith, entitled to come here with every expectation of being in the hunt. This could be the stone that finally snuffs out any prospect of a British medal. At least for the men.
The whole thing just kind of fell apart for the men's team.
Yes, they like it. It's in. And for Great Britain, it's all over. They haven't played well enough. The simple fact is that they haven't lived up to their reputations, and tonight their misery is complete.
So when they lost the game that ultimately put them out of the competition, there was a lot of discord in the team, and they kind of went their separate ways. Ewan obviously stayed to watch Fiona play.
Good evening. Welcome to the first of two programmes to bring you all the action from Salt Lake City. The Winter Olympics continue, and we're here to make sure you stay up all night, which is just about what you did last night, isn't it?
I did. That curling, you know, edge of the seat stuff, it's really got me.
A remarkable comeback which has captured the imagination of the nation.
It's the boost it needs during what have been a tough Winter Olympics.
Then it's Canada in the semi-final.
They were the class of the field, nobody doubts that. So when we came through the tiebreakers and we were drawn against Canada, I was delighted because suddenly we're back to level playing field. Now we've got a chance to beat you.
So the Olympic semi-finals.
Biggest day in Rona Martin's team's career. They'll be underdogs, Kirsty.
Well, they are the underdogs. I mean, if you were to put these two teams against each other 10 times, say Canada would more than likely come out with 8 wins. But this is one game on one day, and that's what Great Britain have to focus on.
They probably thought back to their round-robin game against us, oh, this was a piece of cake. You know, but we'd stepped it up at this point.
We were like, well, ha, ha, ha. You know, we're going to play better this game, so you've got a game on your hands this time.
Rona throws.
This for a 2 and a 5-3 lead.
Sweepers think it needs it all the way, working it as hard as they can. Looks as though it's going to be light.
Desperately trying to take it as far as they can. They might just have done it. They have. What a wonderful stone and what great sweeping. It's 2 to Great Britain. This remarkable team came here expected to acquit themselves well, but perhaps not be challengers for a medal. Now the elite, the gold medal favourites, 5-3 in the semi-final.
The Canadian skip, Kelly Law, glides backwards across the ice. Now Fiona throws with her curly blonde hair tied back. Janice gets to her feet after a throw, then Law shouts out as her sweepers brush the ice.
Sweepers working very hard on this. And Britain have forced the mistake.
And that's an excellent outcome for Rona Martin's team.
Rona throws in the 10th end.
So this for a place in the Olympic final. This to play for gold.
Here it comes. This is the one.
Rona beams, then the British team all hug each other on the ice. Fiona in her living room.
I still remember the hugs from each other. You know, it was just massive, and it was like, oh my word.
It was a huge win to beat Canada.
People holding up a Union Jack flag, then hugs with the coaches.
And I'll never forget that we were interviewed. I had to go and do an interview with TSN for Canada with the Canadian skip, and she said, I can't believe we lost that.
They were just beyond gutted, like, just because they knew what they'd lost out on.
It was, like, devastating for them because they had all these contracts lined up and everything for when they went home with the gold medal, and we basically had put paid to all of that. We were like, oh, sorry. Yeah.
After we'd beaten Canada, I got back and producer Jim Reside, he's packing up ready to head back to the hotel, and he said, I've just had a call from the head of BBC One. I said, really? Yeah. She had phoned and she had cleared the decks. She said, tomorrow night, the curling final is on live, starting on BBC Two, and then we'll roll over onto BBC One. And we were looking at each other and saying, curling on BBC One, peak time on a Thursday night. And I think the audience was 5.9 million. And I always say 5.8 million. I hadn't a clue what they were watching, but they loved it.
Pipers on the ice.
Before the final, I remember the Swiss team were all standing at the back of the sheet and we were just chatting away, you know, and we're like, oh, isn't it magic that there's no North American teams and it's just European teams in the final and chat, chat, chat. And then we were like, yeah, we're about to play you in the final of the Olympics, you know, but here we are just chatting away and it was so cool.
You consider them to be your friends in the circuit. As much as we're playing against them, you kind of didn't want them to lose either.
Olympic rings on the centre button.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the players who will compete in the women's gold medal session.
So here we are. It's the women's Olympic curling final. It's Great Britain against Switzerland. And who would have believed it? 72 hours ago, Rona Martin and her team were inconsolable after losing their final round robin match to Germany. They believed then that their Olympic chance had gone. They've done it the hard way, but they're here.
Switzerland throw the first stone.
We're off and running then. Great Britain playing yellow, the Swiss playing red. I think this is going to be a very close match.
The final was a very cagey, tense game in that Switzerland just didn't take us on. They were happy to just wait for us to make a mistake.
All very cagey. We all know what's at stake, but we need to see a game here.
Well, I wonder whose patience will break first.
So much at stake, so little between the teams. But Great Britain still holding that slim advantage.
Rona clears the house.
We were probably on a level playing field with them in terms of our ability.
The game went really, really fast. Until we were at the last end, it was like, oh, this is scary.
The scores are level going into the final end.
The one thing I really remember was Switzerland's last stone at that 10th end.
Let's all take a deep breath, shall we? Ebb Neuter to give Switzerland a chance of gold.
Take it off! Take it off!
When she played it, she slid out really wide and played the stone wide. And Debbie and I were both standing watching this line thinking, she's wide, she's not going to make the shot. And at that point, I'm thinking, I'm not going to have to play my last stone.
I think I remember kind of nudging Rona because I thought, there's no way this stone's going to work. We're going to win this.
And then all of a sudden, her stone just nosedived in.
And it
I think
comes.
They've overswept it.
And it was kind of like that sinking feeling.
And it just came and stopped.
Is it too big?
Oh, no, it's good.
Oh, she's made it.
we're going to have to play the last stone.
It really is. Centimetres. Millimetres, maybe.
As a skip, you always dream of that last stone you're going to throw to win a medal anywhere. All of a sudden, I need to play a delicate shot, and it was like, oh, OK. I said, right, Debbie, I need to think about this. And she's like, OK, but hurry up, because the clock was running down and we didn't have a lot of time.
Well, could be a skip.
Rona was known as Mrs. Merton around the curling scenes.
She was Mrs. Martin, so it was Mrs. Merton instead. And when Rona was walking back to play her final shot, I stood up and shouted at the top of my voice, go on your cell, Mrs. Merton.
The crowd are cheering and screaming as I'm going up. I didn't hear any of that, but I heard John Munro, on your cell, Mrs. Merton.
Good to see Rona smiling.
I think it just completely took the pressure off somehow.
Yeah.
It kind of brought her back into, you know, this is OK, this is what I do.
So this is it. The stone for glory. One last delivery for Olympic gold.
The sweepers, Janice and Fiona, wait as Rona lines up the last stone, raises herself up, then steps forward and glides in the half-crouch position.
It's on its way. So much depending on one stone. It needs to be absolutely perfect. It needs to be right in the centre of the house. It's looking good. She's done it!
Rona lifts her broom in both hands over her head.
It's Olympic gold for Great Britain.
Hugs and replay.
You will never see a better stone under greater pressure.
The last stone touches off Switzerland's and slides into the button. Rona and Fiona give each other a big hug, both looking thrilled. A photo of the team's reaction.
I remember just, like, you know, putting my brush up in the air and Fiona jumped up and threw her brush away. And then we kind of ran up to give Rona a hug. And then Rona's like, right, we have to shake hands.
Well, they did it, and against all the odds, Britain's women's curling team are today celebrating a dramatic victory at the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City.
Rona Martin, Debbie Knox, Janice Rankin, Fiona McDonald, and Mags Morton, Olympic champions. How does that sound, girls?
Oh. That sounds good.
In the present, Rona's gazing out towards Ailsa Craig.
I never even once thought this is for an Olympic gold, and even when we won, it was... You know, we've won the game. And it was probably only standing on the podium in the Meadow Plaza with 25,000 people in there. That was probably the first time I actually thought, oh my goodness, what have we done? We've actually done something quite special here.
Team Martin were the first British women's team to win gold in any Olympic event.
When we flew home, we got to fly first class and I was so excited. Like, I had a TV and you could put your feet up and this is all great. And we landed in Glasgow Airport and Jackie Bird was standing there ready to interview us and I was like, that's Jackie Bird off the telly. Why is she here?
Well, here they are, Scotland's women curlers and Great Britain's only Winter Olympic gold medalists. They touched down here at Glasgow Airport just over an hour ago. These were the scenes which greeted their arrival.
TV cameras are fixed on the team. Sitting at a table in front of an audience, an amazed smile comes over Rona's face and children cheer.
We weren't expecting to come back to all this adulation and all these invites to go do stuff.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. That's why you're giving me answers.
It's just been a bit crazy. But it was good. It was good.
Today, the whole team received MBEs for service to curling.
It certainly gave curling a spotlight it hadn't really had before. They were high profile and they were hugely popular. I think people recognised, in the nicest possible way, they were just ordinary but extraordinary women.
Holding up their medals.
This team did the ultimate and put curling on the map and put women's sport actually on the map too.
For us, the whole Olympic experience and the profile that we got, you know, that changed people's opinions. And for us, that was a really, really big step forward for the sport, that people were actually looking at it as a sport and not just a wee weekend hobby of housewives.
Team GB skip and eight-time Scottish champion Eve Muirhead.
I remember that night in February 2002. I was 11 years old. Rona and her team's success did a lot for women in curling, and it definitely was a big inspiration to me. If Rona can do it, I would love to be able to do it myself.
Eve in the gym, then at Sochi.
Rona and her team played their part in changing the perception that women could be top-class athletes. They played their part in a movement which has accelerated, thankfully, so much over those 20 years. And to do what they did in Salt Lake City, that just chipped another little stone out of the wall.
Clips of Team Martin curling when they were younger. Fiona.
You're one of few people that can say you've won an Olympic gold medal, and it's just a nice feeling.
Young Fiona grins.
Get emotional.
It's weird to think. No, because I just think I'm just like a normal person. Well, I am a normal. Well, I'm not really normal, but. But yeah, to think that I've done that in my life is. It is. It's very special.
Debbie.
I did compromise my time with my children, but they're now 24 and they're like, you're my hero because, you know, because of what I've done.
I lost so many Scottish finals, I lost so many bronze medal matches over the years, but if I hadn't done that, I probably wouldn't have won at the Olympics because you learn from these losses. It doesn't matter what you want to do, don't give up. Because you can get there. You might get a bumpy road across along the way. And as we said, it was an emotional roller coaster, but do you know, you get there and it's all worthwhile.
As Rona played the last stone, friends at her own curling club were watching live on BBC One. Everyone in the packed clubhouse goes wild.